What's up? It's me, Max Journey, listening to Video Nom Noms. Thank you for listening. It's 8:24 a.m. Wednesday, March 9th, 2022. I'm sitting out here in the freezing cold, waiting for it to start snowing. I heard we're going to get some rain around 10, and then snow's going to start around noon. So my plan is to go pick up some fresh buds. Some Wonka Bar, or Wonka Bars, which is the new strain that they have at my favorite dispensary, so I'm going to be heading there. They open at 10. Still got an hour and a half before they open, but I'll leave in about hour 20. Go pick up my Wonka and smoke the shit out of it and give you a little review of it. So I'm really excited about that. That's kind of what I'm looking forward to now. But the thing that I'm really looking forward to is talking to you fine people about some stuff. So I just took a hit of coffee. Maybe you can tell or maybe you can't tell, but I'm coffeeed up right now, and my plan is to have what we refer to in the industry as a hippie cocktail, which is marijuana and caffeine, preferably coffee. So I'm going to take this hit. It's my first hit of the day, although I did smoke at like 3 a.m. And then I'll be right back with you on Video Nasties. Join me if you'd like. Smoke if you got them. Hopefully it's legal in your state or country. I think the only country where it's legal is Canada right now. I think. Where it's federally legal. I might be moving to Canada. Just kidding. It's too cold. And LA is the place for me. Smoke if you got them. Just gonna wait for the mouthpiece to cool down. I like to sterilize the bowl before I smoke the shit out of it. Alright, that's good enough. Chin chin. So I'm smoking what's remaining of that scout breath that I picked up a few days ago. I think it was Sunday. And you'll hear me slowly start to get high on the podcast. Maybe I already sound different. So this morning I got up. A lot of times I'll fall asleep early and then I'll wake up early and then go back to sleep. So that's what happened last night. So I was up. I smoked a little weed. Little scout breath, and I watched Rick and Morty, season 4, 4 episodes. I'm not a Rick and Morty guy. I'm not an Adult Swim guy, except for Supergirl. And, yeah, I don't know, I'm not the biggest fan, but I have seen, I think, like, most Rick and Morty episodes. I think I've pretty much seen all of seasons 1 through 3, and then season 4 I'm working my way through now. Like I said, I watched 4 episodes last night, so that's a good chunk of it. But I mean, they're only 20 minutes each. They go by pretty fast. I like when they do the kind of weird outlier episodes. That's always been a thing for me in terms of television. I always like the episode that's like different and weird. They had that one, I remember what it is now. I probably talked about this on the podcast already. I've been talking about this episode for years. Nobody seems to know what the fuck I'm talking about. And they're probably sick of me talking about it. The show is Boy Meets World. And they did a Halloween episode where it was like a... It was basically like a high school slasher movie. And they were all like in a slasher movie. But just for that one episode. And it was just so cool and weird. And like nobody seems to remember that. And it was easily my favorite episode of Boy Meets World. For a second I thought it was Saved by the Bell. But I'm 99% sure it was Boy Meets World. Saved by the Bell might have done something similar. I mean, you do see this with a lot of shows. They'll do like the Christmas episode or the Halloween episode, whatever. But St. Patrick's Day episode. Okay, maybe not that, but I'm thinking about St. Patrick's Day because it's coming up. So yeah, so the first episode I watched was, I think, episode 6 in season 4. And it kind of, like, it takes place on a train, which I love. I was obsessed with trains when I was a kid, and I like anything that takes place on a train. I don't actually have like a favorite train movie. My favorite one that I've seen recently is Unstoppable, the Tony Scott movie, but I like to take an Impelham 123. I like Darjeeling Express pretty good. It's okay. Probably my least favorite Wes Anderson movie though. What was the other one I was just thinking of? Oh, I like Snowpiercer, Night Train to Terror. There's a scene in The Brothers Bloom on a train. What was the one that I was just thinking of? I don't know. Maybe it'll come back to me. See, I am high now, so there goes my short-term memory. All right. I think it's a little bit toasty in here. I'm gonna shut the car off. I just had the heat going. It is fucking cold. Even though we're already into almost mid-March, it's still freezing fucking cold, and it's still fucking snowing. But that's Massachusetts. How are you? I'm not back in LA yet. I have to remind myself of that. Boston first, then back to LA. So, what did I watch last night? I watched a Spanish language. You like how I just totally skipped over Rick and Morty there? I watched a Spanish language. Apparently, Alan Tudyk was a voice on Rick and Morty last night. I think maybe the second episode I watched. I saw Alan Tudyk in a bar once. Right before my first PA job, actually. I'm 16. Okay, so this is Death Rites from Spain. I'm just reading directly from my notes. I probably wrote these, scribbled these last night. Maybe while I was watching the movie in the dark. Hi. Wanted it to go somewhere, but it never really does. Wanted it to turn into a crazy movie about a demon baby, but it never does. 1982, the Spanish version of Rosemary's Baby? Question mark. Bizarre. I also wrote Hostel Part 2 sunglasses. So there's one shot where these this guy has these crazy sunglasses that have like mirror, the kind of like mirror reflectors on the front. And he's wearing them, and it just, the scene and the shot just kind of reminded me of the scene from Hostel Part 2 where the guy's got the sunglasses and they bring him, Jay Hernandez's head in a box. Which also might have been a sort of veiled Seven reference as well. Was Eli Roth referencing this movie? I have no idea. Has he ever seen this movie? I have no idea. He's a big Italian cinema fan. And he actually bought a villa in Italy, I believe, which turned out to be haunted, which is appropriate. This is a Spanish movie. Look, I don't know if Eli Roth's ever seen this, but this is a Spanish movie, and it was kind of cool. I definitely liked it better than whatever that crap was that I watched the night before. Oh, Killing Birds. Yeah, fuck that movie. It was definitely better than that. Just immediately right off the bat, I could just tell it was like higher quality. The dialogue was better, the acting was better, it was better shot, everything. So, yeah, it's just, I guess what I was trying to say with that note is like, this is one of those movies where it kind of starts and it's kind of going along and you're kind of like, meeting the characters and so on. And then it introduces this concept which could have gone somewhere really fucking crazy, and they could have brought in like some crazy effects. And I mean, look, in Rosemary's Baby, there are zero effects, and it's like one of the creepiest movies ever. But in the case of this movie, I don't know. I just wanted some like carnage. I wanted something. I didn't just want like a psychological experience, which Rosemary's Baby is, but Rosemary's Baby is probably like the best psychological horror movie ever. So I don't know. They introduced this idea that this woman has been knocked up by a demon or something. I can't even remember now. I might have to look up the description. So I was hoping she was going to give birth to some kind of demon. I don't know. I'm kind of forgetting the movie now, actually. Let me pull up the description and then I'm going to hop right back on here and let you know about it. Be right back. Peace. Okay, so I had the title completely wrong. I don't know why I thought it was called Death Rites. I completely made that title up. It's called Bloody Sect. It's 1 hour, 26 minutes, horror. 1982, Spain, directed by Ignacio F. Aquino. And this is the description from the Eros streaming app. Quote, "After being found in bed with another woman, Frederick, a retired mercenary, is blinded by his deranged..." Oh, I remember now. "Is blinded by his deranged and spiteful wife, who is then confined to an asylum." Okay, I'm gonna stop there. Yeah, so right at the beginning, this woman takes like a poker from the fireplace, stabs this dude's eyes out, just straight up jams it into the dude's eyes. And how they did the effect, it was like this weird like dummy, but it was like the face was hard, so it was almost like a marionette kind of thing, like almost like it was made out of wood or something. I can't really describe it. You'd have to watch the movie. But then they had blood coming out of the eyes. It looked really cool and like surreal. I mean, it wasn't like a realistic effect. It wasn't like, oh my God, this guy's getting stabbed in the eyes. It was more like this weird, almost like art piece, just like this little moment in the movie. So anyway, that was cool right at the beginning of the movie. And then somehow they kind of like fix his eyes or replace them. Oh yeah, they have little like fake, I don't know, they're like glass eyes or not glass eyes, some kind of like thing. I don't know what they are, but they put in these eyes, and then, you know, he opens his eyes, and it's obviously like it's just like the dude, the actor, with like his real eyes, and it's supposed to be like they replace the eyes or whatever, but it's like, you know, obviously they're never gonna look that perfect. It's just like the dude with his eyes, but I don't know. It was cool. It just the whole thing had a weird kind of like surreal quality to it. I don't know. I just kind of dug it. Maybe I like Spanish horror movies. Maybe I just like Spanish movies in general. I was even reminded of Almodóvar briefly at one point, and Pedro Almodóvar is one of my favorite filmmakers of all time. I don't think I've talked about him much on the podcast. I should get into him more. Yeah, and I like Jose Larraz, I think is his name, the guy who did Vampires, Edge of the Axe. I don't know. Spain produces like weird horror movies, especially in this kind of like, whatever it was, early 80s period. Okay. And my favorite Almodóvar movies are always the ones that lean more horror, which maybe I have talked about on the podcast. So I'm talking about like Matador, The Skin I Live In, and Bad Education. Those are my three favorite Almodóvars. Okay, I'm gonna keep reading this description because it does get better. Quote, "Deciding to start a new life and family with his mistress Helen, but finding that he is unable to successfully impregnate her, Frederick consults with a fertility doctor who agrees to assist in helping them conceive a baby. But unknown to the happy couple, a member of a satanic sect decides that Helen will be the perfect mother for the Antichrist and intervenes." Okay, yeah, I'm remembering it more now. A diamond in the rough of early 80s Euro horror. Then 72-year-old filmmaker Ignacio F. Aquino's, he was 72, wow, directing as Steve McCoy. I remember that. Steve McCoy. Sounds like such a fake name. Secta Siniestra. It sounds like he's just trying to sound American. Steve McCoy. Secta Siniestra, or Bloody Sect, barely saw any kind of release outside of its native Spain. Despite liberally, quote, borrowing plot elements from Rosemary's Baby with touches of The Exorcist. I didn't think of The Exorcist. Maybe there is some of that in there. I didn't finish it again with this one. I fell asleep. I think. Or did I finish it? And then I just went to sleep. I'm trying to remember the ending if I did see it. Quote, "Brimming over with every key element of Euro sleaze, including surprisingly mean spirited and brutal killings, satanic possession, loads of nudity, zoom happy cinematography, yes please, absurd plot twists, and a pounding score, Secta Siniestra is long overdue to join the ranks of the craziest offerings from Bruno Mattei or Joe D'Amato. Vinegar Syndrome is thrilled to resurrect this forgotten gem from Spain's sleaziest and most entertaining era in film production and presents the impossible. To see Secta Siniestra, newly restored in 2K from its original 35mm camera negative. Cast: Emma Querrer, Helen Payne, Carlos Martos, Frederick Payne, and Concha Valero, Sister Margaret. Crew: Ignacio F. Aquino, director Juan Bosch, writer Ignacio F. Aquino, writer Juliana San Jose de dot 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 writer and producer. Okay, you get the idea. And also shout out to Vinegar Syndrome. They're an awesome label. I don't know what you would call them. And they're based out of Connecticut. And Arrow has been showing a lot of their stuff recent or some of their stuff recently. I don't know. They've had like Vinegar Syndrome collections. I don't know if they're partnering with Vinegar Syndrome now or what's going on there, but it's great. I've been digging pretty much all the releases. I don't know if Vinegar Syndrome was responsible for Killing Birds, though. I don't think they were. But I actually have no idea. Okay. It's Video Nasties. Peace. I also wanted to mention that I've been listening to an internet radio show on Apple Music called Other Tone, hosted by Pharrell Williams, among others. So I was pretty much listening to the show all day yesterday. I listened to a few episodes. The next one I'm going to listen to is Flying Lotus, but I listened to one with Tyler the Creator. I listened to one with Justin Timberlake, Tyler the Creator, and Chad Hugo from the Neptunes. And I also listened to one they did with Alana Haim. And then they did one with Seth Rogen, which, yeah, I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, I just wanted to kind of give them a little shout out. Check out that podcast. They have some cool music on there. I'm going to be listening to some music today, listening to some Flying Lotus on Other Tone, and smoking some Wonka bars. Okay, so I'm going to do a little something here on the podcast that I have not done before. I had probably too much coffee this morning, as you can probably tell. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up a brand new strain of weed that I just picked up. Okay, and then I'm going to give you a little review of it. So it's called Wonka Bars. It's an indica. In trees we trust, rooted in excellence. This is from Nature's Heritage. Cannabis flower, 3.5 grams, hand trimmed. Really nice packaging, beautiful packaging. And tests at 28.13 THC. They told me at the dispensary this shit is dank. And I believe what they say. Don't say where it's from, where they're located. Anyway, I'm gonna open it up. They said as soon as you open it, you get the full effect of the whiff. The smell, the aroma. That's a better word for it. The aroma of this bud. Here we go. I'm opening it now. Okay, it's got a little. Ooh. Woo! Smells like Wonka bars, people. It really does have kind of a chocolatey scent to it. So it had a little seal on it. Pop that off, and I'm doing all this live, testing it out for the first time, live and uncut here on Video Nasties. So I'm packing the bowl now. Don't worry, I won't pack a huge bowl because that'll take me too long. I could cut this part, but I figure what the hell. I want to give you the full experience of smoking with me. Maybe you've just picked up a fresh strain from your local dispensary. Why not pack it with me and take a hit? Maybe start your own podcast and let me know what you thought of it. Message me on Anchor or on the Video Nasties Instagram at Vide. That's VIDE dot O Nasties. That's ONASTIES, all one word. Check me out. Okay, there we go. Nice little bowl. Just cleaned out my bowl. It's all clear and clean and fresh. I'm gonna sterilize it briefly. I do still have some buildup here. Maybe I can get in there with a toothpick and scrape out. I hate when you get that kind of black tar buildup or whatever it is. Ooh, there's a little gross kind of bong water on the bottom. It's like a little bubbler right now. All right, if you're joining me, smoke if you got 'em. Either way, chin chin. So this is Wonka bars from Nature's Heritage. Ooh. Getting kind of almost a piney flavor. So yeah, this is a brand new strain. I've never smoked it before. Just took my first hit. I can tell it's great. It's strong. I'm already feeling the high coming on, and it's a different kind of high. It's a weird, almost kind of sativa head high, even though this is an indica. And I'm getting faint tones of chocolate, bubble gum, kind of piney, earthy, woody tones in the flavor of this bud. It's delicious. And that's my review. So I'm gonna keep smoking on it. I'm gonna keep listening to what I've been listening to, which is I've been listening to the new episode of Red Scare, a teal as old as time. Not the biggest Red Scare fan, but Eli Roth did shout out Dasha Nekrasova on Instagram, her movie The Scary of 61st. So I've been kind of into the whole Red Scare thing recently. She was also on Succession, which I stopped watching because I just had had enough. Red Scare I stopped listening to for a while because I had had enough. But I've been kind of just keeping up with it, just listening to it, just to see what's going on with the girls. And basically, with Red Scare, if I had to pay for it, if it was Patreon only, like the Brady Snellis podcast was, I just would never listen to it because I just wouldn't pay for it. They do have a Patreon, but they also have a free version. I think they have more episodes on the Patreon. I think that's how it works. And I was signed up for a little while, but that ended quickly. And they actually do have a lot of patrons. Pretty impressive. So I've been listening to that, and I've been listening to Flying Lotus, the episode of Other Tone that he did. Oh, looks like I just lost the episode. That's weird. And I'm going to listen to his EP Reset from 2007, starting with the song Tea Leaf Dancers, which I've never heard before. But I like the name of it, I like the title. And yeah, that's what I'm going to be listening to. Other Tone also has like a video version of their show. So I want to check out some of those videos. Yeah, I feel this high coming on, people. It's hitting me. I'm going to enjoy this for a while, and then I might be back on to talk to you some more. I'll see what happens throughout the course of the day. Talk to you soon. Peace.
Okay, so just a couple of other things I wanted to add here real quick. I was watching that Kanye West documentary on Netflix called Genius, and I saw the end of part two, and it shows Kanye West receiving the Grammy for, I guess it was for Best Rap Album, for 2004, I guess. And yeah, so the College Dropout one, he receives the Grammy, he gives his speech, it's a great speech, and then at the end of the speech he says, everybody was asking me, everybody was asking me what I was gonna do if I didn't win. And he said, I guess we'll never know. So I think in the moment he said that, I realized, oh, that might have been what Drake was referencing. Drake has this line where he says, "I guess we'll never know where Harvard gets us." But I think it was a reference to Kanye West's acceptance speech for his first Grammy. So there's that. I also wanted to mention briefly, to go back to Rick and Morty, there is one moment in one of the episodes that I watched early this morning where they say, you know, let's be honest, or let's face it, whatever, podcasts are boring. They actually say that on the show. So I was pissed. You know, I considered shutting the show off. And then I was thinking about it today, and Rick and Morty does engage in a kind of, like, insult comedy, kind of a South Park-style thing where they insult everyone. South Park does it better. But in this case, I thought it was sort of ironic because Dan Harmon had a podcast for years called Harmontown. So he was probably sort of poking fun at himself there. Of course, he didn't write the episode, but it's possible he was in the writer's room. He was a showrunner on all the seasons, I believe. Peace. Okay. I had to get on here just for another second because I did have an I did have a realization when I was recording the last part. What is the subtext here? Basically, Kanye West was the underdog. He didn't come up as a rapper. He came up as a producer. And he was kind of boxed out. He was locked out. Locked out of the booth, so to speak. It seemed like everybody was against him, wanting him to fail. Not wanting him to be a rapper. Wanting him to stay in his lane, so to speak, as a producer. Now, another argument you could make is, yes, but he was already a famous producer. He already had an in as a producer. So in a way, it was actually easier for him to become a rapper, which I think is true in a way, but I think it was also harder. It's sort of like when you're born into the industry or something, you know, if you're Steven Spielberg's kid or something, it's like, yeah, you do have that in, but it can also be harder because people expect more of you because they expect it to be easy for you.